eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Jamarcus Sheppard.
Legitimately is one of our most explosive players on this football team. And I'm not just saying that as just like this random statement. No, we keep track of explosive plays by our players in spring ball and fall camp. And Giles was at number one or two between him and J-Mac pretty much every fall camp or spring ball that we've been here so far. So we really truly appreciate Giles and love this kid to death. And know that he's destined for some great things here at Washington.
Yeah, you know him better than me, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but would you say he has a little more motivation to play Michigan, that he knows those guys, has been in that program? Does it give him a little chip on his shoulder to play his former team?
No, he has nothing to do with playing Michigan. It's just a chip on his shoulder. You know, the whole room, the entire receiver room, they play with a chip on their shoulder because we're tired of y'all disrespecting us as a program, saying that we're not good enough, and we just have to keep going out there improving it. As a matter of fact, I tell the guys all the time, if you got haters and you don't want them, then give them to me. So all y'all been haters all year, and I'm glad y'all keep giving them to me because I get to keep motivating our guys to keep pushing forward through y'all hatred.
All right, well, no hate from me. Appreciate you.
Take it easy.
You know, Mark.
He don't know me, so that's all. That's how I am, bro.
Yeah,
no.
Talking to Coach Hart over there. You guys seem to know each other pretty well.
Yes, yes. Coach Hart's awesome. Really good human being, man. That's what I really appreciate about the relationships that you're able to build throughout college football is, you know, you get to run across really good people, and Mike Hart is one of those really, really, truly, genuinely good people, you know, but I got to push all that aside on Monday and pretend like he's the worst human being on earth.
I've seen you talk smack to your own corners or your own defensive backs. Have you talked any to Coach Hart yet?
No, well, obviously he coaches the running backs, but Coach Klingscale, I know him very well too, and you know, no smack talking. They do a great job, honestly. They're in the national championship. Their defense has given up. I mean, I don't even know if they've given up any points this year, any yards, no rushing, no passing. I mean, nobody can do anything. You know, I've been in that conference before, so I know, you know, what they're up against every single week, and everybody's trying to find a way and trick them and make it very difficult on them, and they've been able to stay the course and be the top defense in college football.
When you did film review of the Texas game, what really jumped out at you?
We were ready for the moment, and that's what it was all about. You know, our guys, when the moment was there, they made the plays, and there was a lot of guys contributing to that moment, and that's what it's supposed to be like. You know, that's what you hope it's going to be like, that we have ultimate trust in a number of guys to really help get us through the game and continue to move forward. So definitely we got to block better on the perimeter. That's something that I was very frustrated about after watching the film. Got to do a little better job blocking on the perimeter, but have that same killer mindset and mama mentality that we had going into this last game.
Talking to Coach Hart, he said that when Kalen moved from Eastern Michigan, that his wife bought his table and it's sitting in his living room.
Is that right?
You go way back with some of these guys.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about those guys over on the other side that you know.
From Michigan?
Yeah.
You're talking about the coaches?
Yeah.
Well, Mike and I were teammates together in college. He's a few years older than me, but certainly I've known him since I was, well, even before I got to Michigan, my dad was coaching there. And so, yeah, I've known Mike or of Mike since he was probably 18 years old and I was 16 or 15. So we're great friends, you know. He's one of the closest friends I have in the coaching profession. Obviously, we'll be competing our tails off come game day, but I'm always rooting for Mike Hart. And then a lot of the other guys, you know, there's lots of former players that were either playing during the time I was or just before or just after. And so tons of respect for them, what they've done, what that group of players, the coaching staff, Coach Harbaugh, you know, it's been a tremendous season for them.
Knowing somebody on the other side, is that an advantage or doesn't really matter?
I don't think it matters at all. You know, the game's still about the players and how they perform and play on game day. I don't think any connections or relationships amongst the staff. When you get to the 15th game of the season, there's so much film to digest and information to gather that I don't think familiarity necessarily with the other staff is really going to impact the game at all.
Yeah, well, you've got a guy in your room in Jack Westover. He only played two games in high school, but he just does some, I call it stupid stuff out on the field. It just seems like every catch he makes matters a lot.
He's certainly been a reliable and dependable target. He's put a lot of work in. And, you know, he's certainly gained the trust of the quarterback. You know, I think that matters. And I think he focuses on just trying to do his job and be available and friendly. And when his number's called, he's certainly, you know, stepped up and made the play. So super proud of Jack and really the whole group. You know, I think every position group, to make it to this point, everyone's had to play good snaps in meaningful and important situations, and so I'm proud of them, just like the rest of the guys on our team.
I haven't had a chance to ask you about one of your new guys that you've got coming in, and you can talk about him because he signed in Decker DeGraff. Tell me a little bit about Decker.
Great kid, comes from a great family, loves football. You know, he'll be eager to work and improve and get better, and so you know, we're super excited about him being here mid-year and us getting a chance to work with him, you know, this offseason and in the spring practice.
Can you give me a little bit of a scouting report?
He's very productive as a high school player. You know, had lots of production in the pass game. You know, he's got good mix of size and athleticism. And so, like most high school players, you know, he's going to be growing into his body and transitioning to the college game. But I think what we're most excited about is who he is as a person, the family he comes from. Usually people that love football, work hard, and have great character, they turn out to be good players for you.
You know, just the coaches we've covered over the years, it seems like most of them wanted to bring in more of a blocking tight end one year, and the following year more of a receiving tight end. Are you doing the same thing?
I think we just try to get the best player we can get. You know, I think one of the strengths of our staff is to be able to adapt to the skill set of our players. And so I think from a tight end group, I don't think you go out and saying, you know, you take a lesser player that's a better blocker over a good player that's a great receiver. You know, I think you just try to get the best player that has the right combination of athleticism and toughness, and then you cater to what they do and try to develop the skills that they need to improve on. So we just go out, try to find the best players that we can that fit who we are, the culture, the character, those types of things.
Is this going to be the most physical game you guys have played all year?
Probably. I would assume so.
Tell me what you saw on film review, because those guys, you know, from Texas, those guys were some big guys.
Yep. So Michigan, I mean, you saw what they did in the Rose Bowl, their front. You know, they can beat you one-on-one, just straight rush. They also have they do a great job with their pressures and their twists. And so they can get after you multiple ways. They do a great job of showing a bunch of guys up on the line of scrimmage and dropping them back. So it's a huge challenge for us.
Yeah, a lot of talk about where Texas was, you know, pushing the middle, but you're going to see a lot more from the edges from Michigan.
Yeah, like I said, any one of those guys can beat any one of our guys at any point. So we got to be on our A game for sure.
This quick turnaround, the Sugar Bowl was crazy, just waiting and waiting and waiting. But, you know, is there an advantage to this quick turnaround?
I don't know if there's an advantage. I mean, I just say that both teams have the same amount of time to prepare. You know, they were playing in California. We were playing in New Orleans. Both, I think they went back to Michigan. Am I right in saying that? And then and then traveled out here. So, I mean, I think everything's lining up. It's equal.
Yeah,
equal playing field, and find out on Monday.
Yeah, Troy Fautanu, I had the camera going. Did you see the video he did?
No.
You didn't see that?
No.
about ESPN? Watch some film before you make statements?
No,
and
I didn't see that.
And basketball on grass?
No, yeah. I stay off social media. I do a pretty good job of that. You go from hero to zero real quick if you get on that thing.
I mean, what are we going to see on Monday? Give me an idea of what we're going to see.
I think we're going to see a really good football game. Two really good offenses, two really good defenses, and you know, hopefully it's a clean football game where there's not a bunch of penalties and things like that. I don't think anybody really likes sloppy football. So hopefully it's not a bunch of turnovers. Just a real good, clean football game from two really great programs.
I was listening to some guys, and they were talking about, you know, is Washington center really 275 pounds? And I kind of corrected him and said, no, he's 272.
I think he's 276 this week.
Is he 276 this week?
I don't know. We'll see. But
somebody else chimed in and go, dude, he handled a guy that was 360 pounds. You know, just give me, you know, just what you saw from Parker against that, that earth mover.
Yeah. You know, Parker had a solid game. I wouldn't say it was his best game, but he certainly, like, the physicality, people can get jammed up about his weight all they want. Like, that's not going to be an issue for him. It's, you know, his biggest challenge, like any center, is just getting everybody on the same page, seeing the look, communicating the look, and just really being our field general out there and running the show. But he plays with really good technique, fundamentals, whatever you want to call it. He's strong. He is light, but he's not – I don't worry about that.
He runs.
He can run. He can run.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coach Grubb a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, was talking about, you know, just being back at Sioux Falls and getting on the bus and making a stop and getting sandwiches out of the cooler and thinking it was pretty cool. Has there been a time this last couple weeks where you guys have maybe been sitting up at the office giggling a little bit about how far you guys have really come from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. We get to tell stories about it all the time. And I think what maybe it's hard to grasp if you weren't there is how literally hard every piece was, you know, when you don't have that level of support and you're trying to jam as many guys as you can on one bus and you're practicing on an 80-yard field and somebody's got to make sure there's enough footballs at practice and to where you're at today. And I think we just, you know, embrace it, soak it up. But really, at the same time, our demeanor has really been just locked in on the game. That's never changed.
And then you look around here, you're playing in the national championship game in Houston, Texas. How cool is this?
I mean, it's awesome, man. I'm so happy for our kids right now. The belief that they've had throughout the course of the season, how many obstacles they've had to overcome, and to see all their hard work and effort pay off at the very highest level, I'm just really happy for them.
If I were to put a heart monitor on you on Texas last drive, what would it look like?
70 beats per minute. You trust the guys to, and it's something, I guess my confidence comes from the fact that we have been in a lot of those situations throughout the course of the season where, hey man, it's difficult, it's fourth down, we got to find a way to make a play, and the guy's stepping up and making a play at the end of the game. And I think there's always confidence that those guys can come up with the play when we need it.
A lot of what I heard before the game, if you know, on scout and what Texas needed to do, I heard quite a bit, just throw it all day at 25 until they adjust. How satisfying was it to see what Elijah did there?
Yeah, well, I think, and I've said this throughout the course of the season, like if there's one guy that I think has developed the most during the course of our season, it's been Elijah Jackson from where he was at game one in the year to where he's at right now. And really just a testament. I think you look at the last couple of weeks. I mean, there you go, holding Mitchell to four catches for 32 yards. Xavier Worthy only two catches on the day. And really game plan wise, those guys did a great job of taking care of those two guys all day. And then you go back to the Pac-12 championship and it's the same thing. Tez Bryant and those guys, we held those guys in check. So really, really proud of how those guys are playing right now.
One of the interesting things I've always said about this team was, I don't know how you guys can win this game, but you guys always seem to find a way. And that's what's interesting, you know. It's like the last chapter of a book. You never know how it's going to end. And you guys just always seem to find a way, but nobody knows how.
Right. Well, and I think it's, you know, you look at all the crazy ups and downs through the course of the season. We've had to win in a lot of different ways. You know, whether it's, you know, last second field goal, you know, I just think about all the different Arizona State game, Wazoo, Oregon State, Oregon, both Oregon games, and guys just ultimately having belief that however it's going to happen, we're going to make sure that we got the confidence going into the end of the game and find a way to make it happen.
How short was this turnaround?
Super short, yeah, incredibly short. I mean, get back, late travel coming back, and then really in town for what felt like a day, and then flip around and come back. So there's still a lot of work to be done while we're down here right now.
How do you put in a game plan? I mean, do you have guys before the Sugar Bowl scouting Michigan? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we did a breakdown during the month of December. We're off. We did a breakdown of both Michigan and Alabama and had it up and ready. But obviously, you know, with the big challenge that Texas presented, we kept our focus. You know, the coaches kept our focus really heavily, clearly on Texas. But we did a little bit of stuff out in advance. But, you know, really, it's like I said, it's been a hectic week. And while we're down here right now, there's still a lot of work to be done to get ready for the game.
I think one of the more unsung heroes on your team might be Ron McKeefrey. Football's a violent game, and there's injuries. But you guys haven't been injured like a lot of years in the past that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys are doing a great job. Our strength staff and our training staff does a good job of looking after the guys and taking care of them. And we try to take care of them during practice. And to realize when you got a veteran, talented team, the most important thing is get them to the fight every week. And I think our support staff's done a fantastic job with that.
When you looked at that Michigan film, is there something that maybe opened up your eyes and said, okay, this is different?
The level of physicality. I think it's on a very high-end level. It's going to be, say violent. It is going to be a very, very physical football game. And I think, you know, they just don't make a lot of mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously, they're 14-0, and they're there for a reason. So we need to be ready for an extremely physical football game.
A couple more. Just you were back at Sioux Falls, and you've had undefeated seasons. You've won championships. How does this feel different other than just how big it is? You know, are there any characteristics from those teams that you might be seeing in this team?
Yeah, well, the key characteristic, which this is the secret sauce, is how much you guys care about each other, how close-knit the staff is. Those things that were evident, you know, 15 years ago, it's still the same thing today. I mean, guys really honestly, truly believe in one another, and they believe in the coaching staff relationships that we have. They're all a major piece of us being here today, and those were true back then as well.
I was talking to Coach Huff and just say you may be the MVP for this year because football is a physical sport, and you guys have remained fairly healthy this year. Talk to me a little bit about how difficult that is to maintain these guys' health.
Yeah, it's super hard. The guys got to put in a lot of work, not just in the weight room, but then with recovery, with activation, treatment. You know, it really takes a village. So our sports medicine, our sports nutrition, our sports psychology all factor into that equation as well.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of it's just culture and the mindset and the mentality that you guys have around the program. I asked Cam Davis after surgery how much time he talked about, you know, how many days did he go without working out? And he said none.
None.
I mean, none. Is that unusual?
No, it's, I mean, it's something, you know, especially with the guys that are injured that like that. The weight room is so much more than just getting bigger, getting faster, getting stronger. It's also mindset, and you know, these guys are warriors, you know, and so if you let them remove them from what they know, they really struggle with that, you know, from a mental health standpoint. And so if we get them in as quickly as we can, just to get them going, get them back feeling a part of the team, and keep him as integrated as we possibly can, because that's what a competitor likes to do.
You have a young lineman that you brought in Elijah Jaquette.
Yeah.
And I look at him.
It's changed.
And I'm thinking, that is a science project for Coach McKeefrey. Talk to, when you see a guy like that, that's built like that, it's what, not what he is, but what he can be. Yeah, tell me about that process.
It's a blank canvas for me. You know, it's, you know, you got a couple guys like that, Kali, Swanee, you know, those are both are all three long frames that that you're able to go to work with. And, you know, Elijah and Swanee and several other guys in our program have really bought into what, how their body can change by seeing guys like Troy and Roger and Nate and Juice, see what's possible with hard work. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of work that goes into that. In terms of putting that muscle on, and that's nutrition. That's a lot of pieces as well. But Elijah specifically, since you asked about him, is really bought in and really enjoys the process now.
Who was the last guy you had to quick kick out of the weight room and said enough?
I haven't had to do that here. You know, we've got great kids. We really have. I mean, you're saying,
no,
for me,
stop lifting.
Oh, stop lifting.
You're big enough. You're big enough.
You know, as a strength coach, I can't ever say that. but that said, I mean, we have guys that are fighting for that title, you know, in terms of who's in the weight room the most, who's going to do every little possible thing that they can to win. And, you got guys like Mish and Asa and Julius Bulow is a good example, and Troy, Parker Brailsford. Those guys, you know, they realize that that the weight room is a way for them to separate themselves. Doing extra weight work is a way to separate themselves and embrace it. And freaking, yeah, I mean, it's a daily battle of like, hey, guys, I've been here for 15 hours. I got to lock up.
You know? I don't know if you saw what Kaleppo said when I talked to him about his McDonald's go-to.
I did not. You're gonna indict him?
He said his typical order is two spicy chickens, you know, three spicy chickens, two fillet of fish, 40 nuggets, and large fries and a Coke.
Yeah, I appreciate you telling me that.
he said he once spent $65 at McDonald's. How do you keep these young kids from doing that?
You know, it's obviously a daily battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, people don't realize how much fuel these guys need,
yeah,
you know, to do the things that they do. They'll do the work that we ask them to do, especially in the weight room. It's tremendous, you know, and so a big guy like that needs a lot of calories. Now, I would hope that he would choose better, you know, that fuel, but you know, again, it just goes back to you know, some of the challenges that we have, or we want to make sure that we're controlling as much of the meal process as we can.
When you look at a guy, you know, I'll go back to Elijah Jaquette. Do you kind of have a goal for him on how big you want him to be, and then maybe some of your skill guys where, you know, you don't want him to get bigger? Do you kind of pencil a goal for each one of those?
Yeah, you know, you use the NFL Combine, right, and you use the NFL as a good guide. So we do an annual study every year of what the starters in the NFL, not just the guys that are going to the combine, because that's kind of that can be skewed a little bit, but the guys that are actually playing, and what weight that they're at, what body fat percentage they're at, and then we use that as a goal for most of our linemen. Now, once they're around that goal, then it becomes, okay, how much, you know, how big can we get and still stay within that frame without losing our speed or losing our athleticism? And so, yeah, I mean, we you know, for an offensive lineman like Elijah, we want him to be about 320 and about 23% body fat.
Me too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Me too. What's the hardest workout that you get the guys through where they know it's going to be like, today's going to be hell?
I think if you asked our guys, they'd probably say all of them, but I think you point to our winter conditioning. Our winter conditioning, it's a combination of intense workout with very intense psychological challenge, you know, where we're really, you know, we're so super disciplined in their technique and super disciplined in their execution of the drills. And so any minor flaw is highlighted in a very big way. And, you know, you do that when you're going at max intensity, and it's really a struggle, you know. And That's something that's obviously coming up very, very quick, but I think we do what kind of a lot of people do, but I think if you talk to these guys, one thing we do is we add the competition element to that, and we usually go extended period where they're competing against each other. And I've heard, you know, many players, Mike and others, point to that as a differentiator when we get into the fourth quarter and they start talking about their confidence level of knowing that they've done more than most people.
All right, one more. People have been asking me to ask you. Back in the day, with Don James and Jim Lambright and even Rick Neuheisel, they used to do the mat drills.
Yeah.
Do you guys do those anymore? Or those are thing of the past?
That's what we call our winter conditioning. Most of the drills that were done in that are drills that we do in our winter conditioning. Mat drills, as like, you know, back in the day, teams that did them would actually get a wrestling mat out and, you know, either kind of wrestle or like hold on to guys. And the NCAA kind of limits some of the things that we can do like that now, but we find plenty of physicality and toughness drills that we can throw in their place. And I think our guys would actually beg for some of those mat drills.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.